10 euro.
And the goods?
€5.
€5. And what are the goods?
It's a well-known fact that when driving through Wexford in the summer, if a person normally resident in Ireland does not buy a bag of potatoes and a punnet of strawberries from a teenager on the side of the road, they will turn into a pillar of salt.
All right. Good luck, lads. Thanks very much.
Perhaps it was all of those headlines that I had read in the last few months about poor weather and a potato apocalypse that were colouring my perception. But the normally abundant displays of 4-stone bags of Kerr's Pinks and Golden Wonders on the hard shoulder seemed to be a little bit less generous this year. And the impact of the weather appeared to be borne out in O'Shea Farm's sorting and packing yard in Pilltown, County Kilkenny. The salad potatoes coming off the conveyor belt were all imported from France.
Probably only 20% of the salad potatoes that's on the shelf in the country is Irish. So there's a huge gap to fill there. There's a huge opportunity there for Irish growers to fill that gap.
Tom Murray of O'Shea Farms took me into a field of Maris Pipers that were a month late getting into the ground because machinery just could not get into the fields.
They're very underdeveloped, aren't they? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
How much bigger would you expect them to be at this time of year?
You'd like them to be hitting for 50 mil this time of year. We're probably looking at 20 mil tubers there now. So we've...
So there's a lot of growing
to do. Yeah, we've 30 mil in the difference, 5 mil a week. That'd be a rough guide.
Which leaves them about 6 weeks behind where they should be by this time of year. So they will be a lot smaller than Tom would like when they have to be harvested.
Look, we have to take them out September, October. The reason for taking them out then is we can lift crops warmer and drier. It means we need to use an awful lot less energy to try and dry them in storage once we get it back to the yard. Last year, we would have been in a scenario with the very late lifted crops, so we actually had to warm them up.
How do you do that?
Put heaters in the sheds.
At what kind of cost?
Oh, huge cost, yeah. Electric heaters trying to warm up 1,000 tons doesn't come cheap.
No, I wouldn't imagine it does, does it?
All this means that across the 30 different growers Tom works with, from Kildare to Kerry, yield will be down and the costs could be up. But before you start thinking that this news means end of days, Tom brought me to another field with a very different story to tell.
So 20 little tubers there or so.
Yeah, we should have quite a few more on the salads. If we go rooting, there they are.
Salad potatoes. Looking good enough to wipe a bit of dirt off and eat straight out of the ground.
Yeah, we're very pleased for the year that we have in it. We're very pleased. We've up to 40 mil on some of them tubers. We pack on a 47 mil down. We still have another 2 weeks growing in these, so they'll do another 5 mil. So we'll pack 28, 47 mil. That's our packing size.
So everything is as it should be?
Yeah, everything is as it should be. It's quite handy because it's a short season crop, 60, 70 day crop. So we'd be very, very pleased with these, yeah.
Varieties like Maris Piper and Rooster take 140 days to grow fully. So this year they're going to be coming out of the ground before they're fully mature to ensure that they don't end up in a waterlogged field. But while you might think that a reduced growing season due to poor weather would be Tom's greatest headache, it's actually a good bit down the list of things that keeps him up at night. The last year or two has seen the return of an old foe.
If you asked me 2 years ago, is blight a challenge? I would have said no. In the last 2 years, we've seen huge changes across Europe to new blight strains. What that means is these blight strains are now mutating to be resistant to pesticides that we have in order to control blight. Blight is the biggest disease risk in a potato crop today.
So how much more likely is it that you get hit by blight now this year?
It's a lot more likely. We still have to be spraying them on quite a regular basis. The issue why these strains have started is coming from other countries in Europe that have lost some key pesticides for blight control, and they've been forced to use too many of the same pesticide grouping. By doing that, it has caused resistance to some blight strains, and then we get that in. So one of the threats we have, for example, so you'd kind of say, well, why is that going to come from mainland Europe? We're all the way out here in an island. Since Brexit, we don't have access to Scottish seed anymore. Scotland not only has the highest health standard for potato seed in Europe, but it's also intergenerational seed production. So where do we have to get seed? We now have to get seed from mainland Europe, namely Holland. Quality seed coming from there is very good, but it opens up that risk of bringing them blight strains to Ireland in seed.
Yet again, another unintended consequence or unforeseen consequence of Brexit.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And it's because the industry is so small here, there's not enough talk about it. But certainly across Europe, they're trying to make headways. But it's certainly a huge issue.
Brexit reintroduces new and more damaging strains of potato blight to, of all countries in the world, Ireland. You really can't make this stuff up.
No, it's brilliant. There's not more fields like that around the countryside.
As we walked around fields that would be the envy of any kind of farmer, I wondered, in a world where potato yields were falling due to weather and blight and land prices were only rising, how long would it be before potato growing wouldn't be seen as a profitable enough use of a field like this?
Land is always going to be a challenge. It always has been a challenge. There's more collaboration that can be done there with other farming enterprises. There are certainly opportunities there for a little bit more land sharing between dairy farmers, livestock farmers, and the tillage sector.
I can't see any dairy farmer right now, given the bind that they find themselves in, saying, oh yeah, come in and take that field for potatoes.
Yeah, I can give you an example. This is the second year now that we have a crop of salad potatoes right in the middle of a grazing platform.
In the middle?
Yeah. So
really?
The farmer took a crop of silage off it before we planted the salads. We've the salads planted a month now. We'll be lifting them in August and he'll get that paddock reseeded and back into the rotation.
What's the attraction for him?
He's minimising risk. He has an upfront payment for his land.
And that'll be back in a grazable condition by
exactly.
When he needs it?
He's earmarked that field for reseeding. He's seen an opportunity that we can give him X amount of money for the use of that field for 3-4 months max, and he can put that back in his rotation. It just makes sense.
That's pretty nifty footwork now on everybody's part.
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. But that's what I mean. There's huge opportunities there for... You have to be a little bit clever about what you're doing with it, but there's huge opportunities there.
Tom Murray from O'Shea Farms in Piltown, County Kilkenny.